This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel?
So about an hour and 20 minutes ago, I called the gunner to tell him that the interview that I did with Neil Puckett is going to run long. And we start chatting, and oh my God, he clicks off safe. Killing me, man. Hour and 23 minutes later. He stops talking. I'm like, are you done already? So joining me today, I've got an email already for you. Hey, Mac, ask the gunner, what did he think about the president yesterday saying no, 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 and then having to have that clarified that he meant no, no, no. I didn't want to answer any more questions. Mike, is this too funny? It's like the little kid who can't keep himself from lying, and then other people have to come continue to clarify what he says. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He needs you to kind of to roll with him, and when, like, those questions come, you like, put your hand on him and say, I got this. Yeah, they interfere with our elections. Go ahead, sir. What Gunner said, and let me just tell you about that. Okay. And but I'll tell you what, they've got, I kind of did this little skit this morning about, like, President Trump calling Bill Clinton, because Clinton's like the quintessential liar, right? So, like, how do I get out of this one? I said, I don't see why it would be them. And Clinton says, well, let me look at the video, and I'll get back to you. I'm pretty gifted in this lying thing. I've been doing it since I was a little kid, and I'm good at it. And then he called back and says, oh, that's easy, man. You meant to say wouldn't. I don't know why it wouldn't be them. My God, Bill, you're awesome. This is just beautiful in its simplicity. Yeah, you know, you can't overthink a lie too much, sir, Mr. President, but anything I can do to help, just keep away from my foundation. No problem.
Yeah.
I'm not, my Justice Department a little shaky right now, but, yeah, you know, I've spent a lot of time and effort putting that money together. I don't need the IRS and the Treasury Department crawling up my ass over there. No problem, Bill. I got your back. Hey, thanks for the lie. Then he's got to call him back 24 hours later. I said no, no, no when I thought that they were, when I asked if interfering. Oh my God. How am I going to get you out of this one? And then, like, oh, wait a minute. But, yeah, just say your protocol officer is standing there. And she didn't even really say anything. She just raised her eyebrows, wondering if you want, you know, we do this on a regular basis. Do you want to take questions? And I saw her, and I said, no, no, no. I wasn't answering the question. Come on. Of course. That's another good one there, Bill. Thank you very much. But anyway, so what's your take on the daily clarifications?
You know, he'll get out. I mean, something will pop up. And he'll get out of it.
Yeah,
he made a mistake. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. First of all, no more questions to the president about Russia. Okay. We need to move on to a different subject. Something that he could talk about: NATO, China, North Korea. Something that he does less damage on, okay? Because people don't like what he has to say about Russia. So Mike and I are talking, and I'm not going to talk about our conversation, but there is something in light of Neil Puckett you just heard Neil Puckett's interview and about court martials and officer discipline and stuff like that. One of the things that Mike and I did kind of talk about is that it's in generalities. That you hear people say, and I'm going to tee up a quote for Mike, and you're going to hear his thoughts on it. But people say this, and I want you to hear from somebody who spent a lot of time, not only in countries where there's war going on, but outside of them, back here thinking about it, preparing other Marines to go and whatnot. Mike, how thick or thin is the line between killing in combat and murder?
Oh, it's people say it's close. It's like a razor's edge, that it's so close. It's not. It's like a fucking city block. I mean, it is not as, if people, I don't know why people say that. They say, oh, there's a fine line. No, there isn't.
Right.
There's not a fine line. The line is thick as the fucking city block. We make it difficult because we like to have an out. And so that's the fucking number one problem when people start talking about that. When I hear people say, oh, it's a fine line. First thing in my mind is, oh, fuck this guy, man. Gotta keep my eyes on this dude.
No, it's funny. You hear people say that and your head turns and like, who just said that? What's your name? Who are you? Where are you from?
Are you a reporter?
Yeah, because you'll hear that and tell, if you're listening, how many times have you heard somebody say, the line between killing in combat and killing, civilians, or in murder it's a fine line. And no, it ain't. Okay.
No,
it ain't. And
I worry about the guy that says that.
Yeah, when you hear somebody say that, and again, it's something that you'll hear people say, but people that have gone there and they're professionals, and let me tell you, none of that stuff's easy, but the difference between the two is pretty dramatic. Now, yesterday afternoon, I was doing an interview, and you were so geeked by your experience yesterday. Not only did you call the program, but you called me later. So I want you to tell everybody what happened to you yesterday that got you so excited.
So yesterday, I did a speech at a country club for, they call themselves, they're like a breakfast club. They're a bunch of older retired people, a lot of military guys, that get people in and talk about different things. And so I was talking about situational awareness on like how you benefit from having good situational awareness as a civilian. You know, you're looking out for, things that could go wrong to separate, from time, space, and distance, that kind of thing. And one of the guys in the group is a guy named Dick Spolk. And so I didn't know Dick. I didn't know this guy, but during the presentation, I see him drawing on a plate, and I was like, at first I was like, what is this guy doing? And then it didn't dawn on me, but then as I got done with the class or the presentation, he gives me this plate as another reward of me being there that day. And it's a drawing of, me in my dress blue. Like, I'm not in my dress blues, but he knew I was a Marine. So it's me in the picture, and he's talking about all this stuff, and it's caricature of me talking and all this other stuff. And well, it turns out to be Dick is this fucking fighter pilot from Vietnam who has 5,000 hours of combat time flying MiG shot down. And he's well known for his art, being an artist, drawing caricatures back in Vietnam. Some of them hang in, buildings today, and he's recognized as a pretty well-renowned artist. And he's in my class, but more importantly is this guy flew, he knew John Voight, who I used as an example of, critical decision-making. We talk about Hulu stuff. Here's a guy who knew John Voight. He knew him. And so I didn't know that until afterwards, and I was really kind of taken by the fact that there was a guy who gave me pretty good compliments, but yet, he knew the actual author of the book that I'm citing, and it really, I was taken, like, wow, that was pretty cool, man. And that made my day.
All right, so I'll put up a picture of the plate, And so what, he just busted out of some kind of Sharpie and drew on the flatware sitting in front of him? I hope we didn't get in trouble.
No, he wouldn't get in trouble.
He's a big timer. He's a big timer.
Yeah. But yeah, so I got that plate and I told him, I said, this stuff, that those kind of gifts, those type of things, people that do from the heart mean a lot more to me than, trophies or certificates or something. So it was, like I said, it was really cool. It made my whole day, man.
So what have you done with it? Are you gonna get one of those plate hangers that you put on the wall?
I got a table stand that it sits in. A dish table stand.
One of those wooden stands. Nice, nice. All right. Very good. Very good. What did you do? What did you do on your off day from All Marine Radio yesterday? What did you do?
What did I do? I don't think I did much of anything. It seemed like I did a lot, but the wife painted another room, so I helped her with that.
Are you a painter? You like to paint?
No, I hate painting. Painting walls? No.
I know, but how can you be a house mouse and not like to paint?
Yeah, right. that's a title that's been given to me by you and Joel.
You don't embrace the house mouse title?
Mm-mm.
Well, now you're just a retired couple, though. So you're kind of legit now that she's not working. Okay? But if she goes back to work, then you become the house mouse again. So I don't know how you feel about that, but you might want to talk to her. Like, I don't think you really, really need to work. Hey, did you know, he's a 1st Marine Division guy. You're a 1st Marine Division guy. Do you know Jake Wood, Team Rubicon?
No. I probably know of him, but I don't know him.
Right. He's a scout sniper guy, 2-7, but Team Rubicon, and last night honored by ESPN with their Pat Tillman Award, stood up and gave a great speech, even put 2-7 on blast in the middle of his speech to all the great Marines of 2-7. Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was awesome. So, he's hit an absolute home run. With Team Rubicon, and you see them being the beneficiary of Verizon, I think. Is it Verizon or T-Mobile? One of them. Texas number, and we'll give a dollar to Team Rubicon. And so pairing up veterans and first responders with disasters, and they go there and they do great stuff. So well done, Devil Dog, Team Rubicon. But last night at the ESPYs, big award for him. So congratulations to him. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah. I saw hottest recorded temperature I've seen at 7 o'clock Pacific time in the morning in Granbury, Texas. What's going on with the weather in Granbury? A little bit warm?
Yeah, it's a little warm today.
Going to get to, 106 or something like that? You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm not outside, man.
I'm
not outside and I don't have body armor on, so I'm good.
No kidding. What about, what are you and, your wife got going today? Anything exciting?
Exciting? No. We gave the dog a bath today.
That's not exciting. Who actually does, do you do the bathing? Do you, does a dog, is your dog okay with it?
So my German Shepherd hates clean water for some reason. But, yes, last night we were at the lake and he was running in the lake like, it was the best thing in the world. So we take him down the lake and play fetch with him in the lake. And he just really loves that. But, man, you get him in clean water and it's like, he's going to die.
So why'd you give him a bath after he was in the lake? You didn't want any foreign parasites into your domestic lake? Is that what you want? And no invasive species in the Musselman house?
No, he just needed a bath.
All right. Right. How far is the lake from your place?
It's across the street.
Oh. So at night, what's the low temperature overnight? In the 80s?
Yeah, I think so. I don't hang out much outside when it's too hot.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the
heat. Email question. Mac, it's interesting that the gunner says that because I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say that. I know that I've heard a lot of people say the line between killing and murder is razor thin. Interesting that Mike would say that. Yeah.
No, you hear the other
statement a lot.
Rookies say the other. You know, people that don't know will always tell you that razor thin. No, it's not. Combat and killing people in combat and murder are, it's so far apart that it's incredible. So people they'll say that to justify whatever they're trying to do, unless they believe it.
But it is. It's a novice statement, right? And it's not, mm-hmm. But like I said, when you hear it, you like turn your head. You're like, who said that? All right.
Yeah, when I hear that, my senses go on alert.
Yeah. Your spidey senses.
Yeah.
Who is that dude? Who is that dude? And what did you say? All right. Well, let me make sure that I track him. And whatever. So. No.
Keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Keep your friends close. Keep him closer. Another email. Mac, I'm curious. Mike talks about Texas all the time. How often does it get above 100 during the summer? Will it stay this way for stretches? Because my understanding is the center part of Texas can get pretty hot for long stretches. Or has it been his experience that it doesn't stay that hot for this period? So, yeah, Mike, tell us about summer in Texas.
Well, I'm not you want to talk to someone. I've only been here 3 years, so. In the time that I'm here, it's usually close to it, but not like this. This is kind of abnormal.
Abnormal. Okay, so if average temperature in the summer would be mid-90s, low 90s, what would you say?
Yeah, mid-90s.
All right, mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s. But, again, I'm not – it's just like, people tell me when I was a kid growing up in Minnesota, the winters were hard. I mean, they were really hard. But now, it's just – how the weather is. I mean, you can't predict the weather.
Yeah, I bought, again, you and I have lived around the country, and so, and, to include both of us in the northern plains and on both coasts and in the center part of the country, I spent some time in Kentucky, Ohio, and in my opinion, unless you're living on the Southern California coast between, I would say, Huntington Beach and San Diego, unless you're living there, relatively close to the coast, and when I say relatively close, I mean either between the 5 and the coast or the 405 and the coast, and there's even some parts of the 405 that are too far inland, you are going to have 60 to 90 days of weather that is either too hot, too cold, too humid, or too rainy, something. And so, take your pick. You can dial it up around the country. People, when we moved to North Dakota, said, oh, it's horrible up there. My kids loved it up there. We loved it up there. Great people up there. Small town America. They have automatic car starters and seat heaters, and Carhartt makes great jackets, great hats, and great gloves. So you can, trust me, you can survive it. You can have a great time. So the question is, how do you, where do you want to live and what do you want in your life? Don't let the weather be the deciding factor, because it's only really, really great one place, in my opinion, in the country, and that is Southern California, coastal coast living. It's pretty mild all year. You know, hot is in the upper 80s. And so other than that, take your pick, man. Heat, humidity.
Yeah, I mean,
heat and humidity, cold.
When I've been in California, there's times where I was in California that they got on the coast close to 100, and those, you know, you can't look at that as the norm.
No, that's the world ending on those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every other part of the country, Pacific Northwest, you get rain, a lot of rain. So are you good with that, right? Inland in California, you get heat. You know, Sacramento very much like the center part of Texas in terms of heat. Texas probably get a little bit more humidity. All through the Midwest, it's heat and humidity. Grand Forks, North Dakota was not a whole lot different than Cincinnati, Ohio. Cincinnati might have more humidity. And then you go to the East Coast, man, Tampa, you're going to be in the summer triple digits with humidity. So, I mean, you know, again, pick your poison. What do you like? You know?
Yeah. What do you want to sacrifice to get with?
Yeah, because don't define it by the weather, because you'll learn to cope with the weather. That's just my take. And again, that goes living in North Dakota. And again, North Dakota, the winter temperature going to be somewhere between, for the most part, 0 and 15 degrees most of the winter. So it's going to be about 10 degrees colder than Minneapolis. Minneapolis, I would probably say, would be between 10 and 25 most of the winter. North Dakota, 10 degrees cooler. And then from there, you're going to get your worst days. Coldest air temperature I was ever around was like somewhere between 20 and 30 below air temperature. That's not wind chill. But you know what? You learn. Yeah, I mean, you learn. You know, I could tell you, I would go run. I could go out and run to about 10 degrees below zero. After 10 below, it's too hard. Can't do it. And, like, think of that. Like, what? And look, I was born and raised in California. I would have never thought that I would have thought that was okay or cool. But you know what? There is, again, my kids love that stuff, right? And then they get used to it, and, you know, they it's 10 degrees above, and they go to school in a hooded sweatshirt, jeans, and a pair of tennis shoes, right? You're like, what? Yeah, because it's just, you know, they know how to do it. So, anyway. Another email. Hey, Mac, I've got a gun question, and I've got an ammunition question. Ammunition question first. Is the gunner familiar with the stun mortar, 81-millimeter mortar round that you were talking about earlier in the program? Mike, have you heard about the flashbang 81-millimeter mortar, been in development for about 4 years? You familiar with it?
No. That wasn't around when I was. I can't recall.
All right, non-lethal piece of ordnance akin to 14 stun grenades going off, and it's an 81 millimeter mortar. All right.
Right.
The modified round, it's modified from an 81 alum round, is compatible with existing 81 millimeter mortar tubes. Flies through the air like a standard mortar. The round's effective range is between 450 and 1,500 meters. When the round is roughly 250 meters above the target, a time delay fuse detonates, the mortar nose and tail section separates, and 14 non-lethal cardboard encased submunitions are released. Parachutes also release the mortar's nose and tail, and the mortar floats to the ground while the flashbang grenades fall, stabilized by drag ribbons. The non-lethal cartridges are designed to detonate simultaneously, covering an area of up to roughly 30 meters. Each cartridge, like the M84 stun grenade, emits roughly 180 decibel bang and a flash of more than 1 million candela within 5 feet of the initiation spot. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. A little bit more than you want to know. Hey, so,
question.
So we're loading ammunition, right? When we're going to go fight. Gunny, how many crates of non-lethal do you want? What's the gunny say?
Well, I wouldn't want any of them.
Right. That's what I was going to say. None. Load HE instead.
Yeah.
So why did you shoot the non-lethal round? We only had X amount, and we took HE instead. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, but now they got a nice picture of it and everything. Non-lethal mortar rounds. What in God's name is going on? Really? What?
Yeah, we're fighting war.
With non-lethal means. So the Marine Corps is now, then send the Peace Corps. You have the wrong corps. Okay. If you need non-lethal means, that means you don't need the Marine Corps. Okay. And we're going to shoot a mortar. We're going to shoot a non-lethal mortar. I don't know, man. To break up what? And knock a bunch of people out? What? I'm not sure if that's a good call or not.
That's crazy.
You know, it's a cool idea and all that, but look, you only have so much space in the vehicle. Are we loading our non-lethal mortar rounds in there? Well, Gunny, you know you got to take them. We're going to get in trouble if we should have shot a non-lethal round, but we didn't.
That's pure craziness on me, man.
All right. Gun question. Mac, I'd like to swap out my trigger. I'd like to do it. Is it going to be too difficult of a project for me? I'm a relatively novice gunsmith. Mike?
What kind of gun is it, though?
It doesn't say.
If it's a bolt gun, well, there's a lot of triggers. They make a lot of triggers for different variant type guns. One of them being, there's a lot where they do this whole, what's the word I'm looking for? It's plug and play type. It doesn't take a lot. I mean, anybody can do it. So it depends on what type of gun that you want to use. If it's an AR, there's a lot of drop-in triggers that you can just literally buy and then put them in.
Okay, let me. I'll give you some common weapons, and you just say yes or no. Okay. Glock trigger replacement. Yes or no? A relatively novice gunsmith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Beretta 9mm trigger. Yes or no?
No, that is not. Yeah, that's a gunsmith thing.
Okay. A Colt 45.
Again, that's a gunsmith thing.
Okay. AR-15?
A novice.
Okay. Bolt action rifle.
Now, it depends on the bolt gun.
Okay.
Really, it's kind of weird to say that, but there you can get novice type guns or triggers, but normally they're not your better triggers. Your better triggers are the ones that require a gunsmith.
Interesting. All right. Look, we're short a little bit of time today, but thanks for the visit. Anything you want to unload on anybody before I let you go?
No, I'm good.
You're happy? Yeah, you gave the dog a bath, and you're okay now?
Yep, I'm good.
All right. What's your dog's name again?
Blitz.
All right, man. First of all, enjoyed the conversation before we came on. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Mike Musselman. I'm trying to be more punctual because, you know, Mike's wife plans. Tina makes plans, and she doesn't like him, right, to be delayed by the program, okay? So, yeah. So, again, all right, we have to take a break, okay, for technical reasons. So we're going to take a break. I'll be right back. We'll end the program. Don't touch your dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. That's right, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to say...
All right, no screwing around. That'll do it today. My thanks to Neil Puckett for coming on and making us smart. And next week, you're going to hear Neil Puckett again. And what you'll hear is you'll hear a discussion. We'll get his thoughts on on the defense of in the whole Haditha thing. So. So today was just kind of a little bit of a preparation for it. So hope you enjoyed meeting him. He's an interesting guy, and the discussion about military justice, how it works, or in my opinion, how it doesn't work a lot of times. And I understand his admonition to me. Well, it's hard to put it all together if you don't have all the facts. It just seems like an awful lot of time we don't do the message sending that ought to be done to the general population of leaders in the military, which is don't go near this. So, with that said, on a in the gunner, he and I were having a conversation about some of the Haditha stuff, and that's what I don't know. I think he made that statement, and it's something that I alluded to in a conversation with Neil Puckett within the last 48 hours. That you will hear people say that the line between killing and combat and murder is a razor thin line. Yeah, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Ask a professional. So, anyway, on that cheery note, keep your fingers crossed that the President of the United States can navigate a 24-hour period without completely making a jackass of himself. More clarifications to follow. Stand by. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio, over and out.